What are they going to? Are they going to 10 or 11?
They're going apparently to 10. Vin Diesel says that was the grand plan all along. We want 10 Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah, since day one.
And it's going to be this great artistic statement that. And also, I think Vin Diesel is calling all the shots. Whatever Vin Diesel wants, he gets.
You know what they're going to call the last one, though? It's going to be Fast X.
Oh, it better not be Fast X.
Fast X. They haven't, like, the first couple movies were creative. Too Fast, Too Furious, I love. Tokyo Drift, like, then they just started going, they just started
then it was,
dropping
then
words.
Then it was Fast and Furious.
Yes.
And then it was Fast 5.
Yeah. Fast 5,
Furious 6.
Furious 6.
No, Furious 7. Fast and Furious 6, Furious 7.
And Furious 6?
And then now this is going to be called Fast 8. I think it's just going to be like F. By the
I think it's
going to
be Furious 9. And then, what if the last one just FX?
FX.
No, it was Furious 6.
It was Furious 6. And Furious 7, too.
Furious 7, yeah. And then the next one's
they're literally
Fast
going, what
8.
Sounds better, Fast 7 or Furious 7? And then somebody just calls it. And then
Fast and Furious 8 is
what if they call
Fast
it,
8.
If they call the last one, like, FFX, it's going to be the same as Final Fantasy 10. And that'll be a problem. A big problem.
There is no overlap between
Guys,
those two audiences.
Fast and Furious
You're
9.
Probably right.
Fast and Furious 9 and 10 dates. Let's look at this. I'm excited for
there
the
is not a
three.
Single
sorry.
Final Fantasy fan that is also a fan of Fast and Furious. I guarantee you. One is like the gearhead, like, yeah, Vin Diesel's my homeboy. And then the other one is a bunch of like gothic
I disagree
MMA
because
nerds.
My brother is the perfect, like,
He's the symbiosis. He's the Venn diagram that overlap?
Yeah.
Okay, so Fast
Except
8.
Except that Venn diagram's like this. It's like really close.
Fast,
I think you'd be shocked.
Fast 8 is April 14, 2017.
Oh boy.
Counting
Fast,
down the moments.
Fast and Furious 9, April 19th, 2019.
Oh my god.
Fast and Furious 10, April 2nd, 2021.
It's fucking movies.
Guys, we have 5 years until Fast and Furious is
from
done.
The epic conclusion.
I'm telling you, it's gonna be Fast X.
It better not be Fast X.
I love those movies though now. I hated them when I watched
or
them.
Or Fast
all.
X Furious or something like that. It's gonna be stupid.
Ever since Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I think, entered the franchise, I
was that six?
Five. Actually, no, Fast Five is my favorite
That's
one.
When you showed up. That's when you were in?
Yeah, I was in with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
You were like, yes, we
I
need
mean,
more The Rock.
Yes,
we need more
I
Rock.
Sat through four, and I'm like, these are so bad. And then Dwayne The Rock Johnson came in, and it was
See,
great.
I are you recording?
I might be. Go ahead.
How long are we?
I don't know.
Almost 3 minutes at this point.
Are we going to put this on?
Sure. See, I watched...
Oh, God.
Like, not from the beginning. I watched when, I think, Tokyo Drift came out. I watched the Fast and the Furious, two Fast and Furious, then Tokyo Drift, and I watched them every time they came out.
I just love Lil Bow Wow. Lil Bow Wow is great. Remember Lil Bow Wow's, he's the dude in fucking Tokyo Drift, right?
Isn't he, like,
big? Oh, yeah.
He's big Bow Wow now. He's not little anymore.
For, like, half a second, I'm like, you mean Ludacris.
No, I think it's... No. There it is. I think it's just Bow Wow now.
Yeah,
is it just Bow Wow?
I think it's like Husky. I think it's old fart.
The dog
that's
goes
behind
bark.
The barn.
The dog goes woof.
Take it behind
the dog
barn.
Goes Bow Wow. Brian Regan Brian classic. Regan. Right?
The dog goes woof. The clock. The big clock. No, remember
see now I'm
tick,
lost.
Tock.
The end. 12 bucks.
He's like now a kid's lost. Books.
Okay.
Like, the clock opens.
It's just this giant book.
The big clock.
Oh.
And it's like, what a story.
Tick tock.
And it's in the Brian Regan bit, yeah.
The end.
And then he turns it in the back.
$12. And he's like, the description on the back is longer than the fucking book.
Right, yeah.
Read this book with your child to enjoy the splendid adventures of a clock. Sometimes it goes tick, and other times it goes tock. Which just goes to show you, in life, you never know what you're gonna get.
I like how we both remembered that bit.
It's one of my favorites.
I love it. No, anyway, Little Bow Wow's Incredible Hulk car. Do you remember his Incredible Hulk car?
Yeah, it was
with
the,
a purple and
Volkswagen
green.
Golf.
Yeah, it was.
What?
I remember the car.
It was
fast
purple and
green. Get at me.
And it has.
Was this in Tokyo Drift?
Yes.
And he was driving a freaking European car.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he had the two. Oh,
no. You're not going to question the fact that in the beginning.
You think I remember this movie?
True. In the beginning, Sean is racing a new Viper in like a 70 Plymouth.
Like, it's, that means nothing to
those
me.
Those words like, in that order are... What? Plymouth Rock? What?
No.
Nina Pinta, Santa Maria?
Okay. Okay. A 1970 Plymouth...
Yes.
...to a new Dodge Viper would be... Apple II to OS X.
What?
Or OS X.
Big difference? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right, that was a long way of getting to that metaphor.
So wait.
Is this an SAT question?
Yes.
So what is it? The Plymouth versus the Viper, right?
Yes.
So Plymouth is small rock.
Yes.
Viper, big rock.
Yes.
Okay.
That scene beginning of Tokyo Drift, I think, is the most sexist scene I've ever seen in movies.
When they're racing over the girl?
When they're racing over the girl, it's like, oh, who's going to get me, boys? And she's like all oiled up and shit. She's leaning up against the car and the two of them race each other. Great movie.
I just like when Sean flips and you see the Tabasco bottle go by.
Oh, that movie's so dumb but so good.
No, I like that movie.
No, it's really good. And it also takes place like after all of them, right?
It's between
seven and eight, right?
No.
I thought it left off where like seven left off or something.
Oh, wait, no.
Or between six and seven. Han died at the end of six.
So it happened.
No, it was episode seven. Wait, what are we talking about?
No, Han died.
I think you're right. I think he died in six.
Han died in six. And
that took you a second, huh?
His son killed him. spoiler alert.
No. We're talking about Han Solo now.
Oh.
That's why.
He got it.
I
just got it.
What is this podcast about?
You know what we should do? Before the audience stops, if you will allow us to speak, audience.
Jesus Christ.
Let's play the intro music.
It was six.
Good afternoon.
It's been a long day. Without you, my friend. And I'm gonna
love that song.
We'll let him do it alone.
That's the intro. Okay. Let's put that as the
that's
intro.
That's the outro.
Yeah, that's the
outro.
Okay.
There we got an intro.
Alright, after
Wait,
7 minutes.
We have an intro.
Horace and Pete, bro. We've been playing that.
Oh, is that what our intro is?
What did you think the intro was?
I thought we had an intro.
We did?
I thought, you know, we don't.
What the hell did we have an intro?
I knew we didn't, like, have an intro.
Why don't we have an intro yet?
I don't know, because we don't put effort into this damn thing. We spend all our time writing douche taxes, and we don't actually...
All we have to do is put in $1.67 each, go on Fiverr, and just... All
right, we're writing an intro. Okay, well, we'll do it one of these weeks.
I mean, I don't really want to.
Okay, no. Fine.
I just...
Listen, the intro we have now was written by Paul Simon, so you can't do any better than
that. I guess that's true.
And performed.
That is true.
I'd like to point that out.
Absolutely. Maybe Simon and Garfunkel will reunite on Horace and Pete one of these episodes. Wouldn't that be cool. The greatest? I saw an interview, though. They don't like each other anymore. And that made me sad.
That doesn't surprise me.
Really? They asked Paul Simon, like, are you ever going to do a reunion with Garfunkel? And he's like, nah, I don't think so. We're pretty much done with that.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean,
careers.
I think we're done with that.
There's a few groups of people who hate each other. Like, all of Fleetwood Mac hates each other.
Is that true?
Yeah, they, like, can't stand each other.
No kidding. Why?
They were all going through, like, divorces when they were writing songs and shit.
Yeah.
And they just hate each other.
Man, I
And Penn and Teller hate each other.
That's not true.
Yeah, they can't stand each other.
I'm good. I'm a big Penn and Teller fan.
They don't like each other.
They don't, like, hang out, but they like each other.
No, not really.
The Mythbusters hate each other.
Yeah, Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman don't like each other.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
They've always hated each other.
Why do they work together? For, like, 19 seasons?
Well, no, because they separate, you know, when they're working, they're doing something together, and they're using both of their knowledges, but their knowledges and their attitudes collide, and they just don't hang out. Like, they don't like hanging out with each
other. Also, I think Jamie's just a dick. I think that's the difference. They clash.
Well, I don't know if it's... I think Jamie's just more serious, and Adam's goofing around nonstop.
Yes.
I mean, watch Adam Savage on, like, Tested. All he's doing is fucking around and playing games and shit. All
right, this is... This is 9 legendary bands that hated each other. Pink Floyd hated each other.
Oh, we're going to the countdown.
I knew that.
Absolutely despise each
other. I know there's one... Is it Guns N' Roses, where they all hate the lead singer?
They all hate Axl Rose. Yes.
Yeah.
Too bad they named the band after him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little weird. Why did they do that?
Kind of. Cream didn't like each other. The Gallagher Brothers.
Cream didn't like each other?
Beach Boys did. Well, that makes sense, actually.
That makes sense.
Fuck those guys.
You don't like the Beach Boys?
I don't know.
I like the Beach Boys.
No. What's his face is a genius, but other than that, the main dude. Like, I saw a movie about him, and, like, he did all the work, and the rest of the guys would just show up and go, run. the Eagles. Well, everybody hates the Eagles, so that's fine.
Hey.
Guns N' Roses. Oh, fuck you.
I like the Eagles.
What?
You don't like the Eagles?
Whoa. This might be major.
I was talking to Jordan about this today. He's a huge fan of the Eagles.
I love the Eagles.
That makes sense. No, I like Jordan. That actually surprises me, because Jordan has good taste. Why does he like the Eagles?
Well, no. His dad loved the Eagles. Jordan, when he was growing up, he listened to all his dad's music.
Uh-huh.
So he loves all that shit.
Well, yeah, same. But
yeah.
I love the Eagles.
They're so cheesy. Hotel California is the most...
Yeah, they all hate each other, though. I know that one.
Yes, and then Guns N' Roses and shit. There you go. Horace and Pete. Hi, everyone. This is Why Is This a Thing?
Oh, yeah. Hey. Yeah, we're doing that.
It's our podcast. Where am I right now? What are we doing?
We're in Nico's basement.
Oh, okay.
It's tomorrow.
Not wrong.
Technically, yeah.
All right. Talk to me, Nick.
I have a little announcement. Is that what you want me to talk about?
Yeah, that's
exactly
yeah. Okay.
What you talk about.
I have an announcement, guys. It's a big deal. You ready for this?
Boy or girl? That's all I want to know.
Well, he's a boy.
Get the cigars out.
I met him last week.
Oh, okay, that type of announcement. All right. Oh.
Congratulations.
I knew it. And I killed him.
He didn't like the shawl.
Wait a minute. So you taking the hormones? Are we on the hormones?
Yep.
Just get to the announcement. Got the dick chopped off.
No, I got officially accepted to go to Japan.
I figured this semester. Is what it was, but yay!
Which means I won't be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, hey, Zach. Zach, what is this?
Yeah, that's...
No,
that's
not me. The audience doesn't like you.
Oh.
You tell them to go fuck themselves.
Yeah, they should.
This is something that we've been talking about for a little bit. We've teased it, but you will not be here for the fall semester.
Yes.
So, I thought that was already confirmed.
Illuminati confirmed, yeah.
Sure. He was not accepted yet. It was not on paper. Now it's finally on paper.
Oh, I didn't.
So contract negotiations will be ongoing. We will try to figure out what we're going to do. Who knows what the podcast will look like, but it'll go on for sure.
Absolutely.
It'll continue to happen, and maybe you'll be on with Skype-like things. And...
I'm hoping I can.
Yes.
I'm definitely hoping that'll be the case. It might involve you doing a little splicing, audio splicing.
Might have to. A couple of names have been thrown into the mix also for possible guest appearances, right? Is that correct?
Yep.
There's right. A few of them. Things in the works, guys.
So the summer will be a good time for us to get our feet wet with that.
Yes, yes.
And with our new mic system, that'll be a...
Absolutely. That'll really be fully solid. Operational by then, as long as they don't break every other week. We finally have three mics, but two of them are
broken.
And one doesn't. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, all right, so that's happening. Jimmy and I are visiting you, though. We're definitely doing that.
Oh, you and Jimmy?
Yes.
Oh, Alexis was going to come too. So I got you, Jimmy, Alexis, and Michaela all planning on visiting.
We're all going the same week?
Not necessarily. You can all come whenever you want.
No, Jimmy and I are coming Thanksgiving. We've been talking about this.
Okay.
Yeah, we're coming Thanksgiving week. We're going to have a nice turkey dinner with you.
Awesome.
I won't be eating the turkey, but...
I will not be coming to Japan.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You've been working a lot. You might... No, I'm saying you might be able to save up. Like, seriously.
You should come. You should come. Not where we're going, but you should come. No, Jimmy.
I'll explain to you why you're very wrong about that.
Jimmy and I are coming. Awesome. That's great. So, man, we only have then, 5 months left of doing this thing?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
We're going on a year.
Shit. Wait a minute. I should have looked this up ahead of time. Let me look at when the first one was posted.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that, like, a few days ago, and I forgot until right now.
Wait, hold on a minute. Let me see.
Do you know? You might know. Nope. I feel like, you know, no idea. I feel like you're the type who would, like, know that.
I'm the one who always asks how long we've been doing this. Why do you...
Go.
I don't know. You're like, the guy who we go to for, like, information. Like, you're the information guy.
Random ass.
We do?
Yeah.
Wait, I go to him for information?
You should.
Newsflash.
Don't go to me.
I'm gonna sound really cocky. Nico, you should come to me for information.
Nico's the talker. I'm the guy who makes shit happen, and Zach's the one who gets all the information. That's how we function. Like, I can build things.
Yeah, that's our thing.
That's our thing. That's how we work.
Guys, April 22nd was the Pompidou
What's today?
Podcast.
April 420.
20.
Oh, shit. Is this our 1 year?
Yo! Wow, did we drop the ball on that one?
Oh, it's our 1 year anniversary.
Happy 1 year! Hey! Hey!
one-year anniversary. What is it? Is it the, like, silver, aluminum?
No. Tin?
Tin?
Plastic?
No, I think it's not paper, is it?
Look it up. We need to get each other gifts.
Well, what are these? Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
So at 50, it's like a diamond, the gold. Right?
50, no, 50's diamond.
Diamond? Is 25 gold then? I feel like gold's an important
one. I think 40's gold.
40's gold? Why would they make 40 gold?
Gifts by year list.
By you.
Hold on, look it up.
Let's see. What do we get?
The 1 year's what?
Oh, no. The first isn't anything.
Oh, there is no first. You just... Good job, you did it.
Hold on.
So Friday's the anniversary, huh?
Okay, so let's see. Hold on. It's... oh, no. First... Yeah, first for us is paper.
Okay.
Oh, it's U.S. In the U.K., yeah, it's cotton. UK,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we don't do that.
Second's...
cotton.
Yeah, second's cotton, third's leather. And then 15th is crystal, 20th is china, 30th is pearl, 50th is gold, diamond is 60th.
Okay.
You think we'll make
moonstone
it
there? Moonstone is 85th. What the hell is moonstone?
Moonstone is like a very like...
Is a sodium, potassium, yeah, aluminum, silicate.
That's exactly what I was going
to say. That's 70?
That's 85.
Yeah, exactly.
The hell's the moonstone?
I don't know, man.
Nobody's what? Celebrating an 85th no anniversary.
Technology's it's getting there, man.
Yeah, so paper.
God help me if I have an 85th anniversary.
So we're paper, right?
Yeah.
Paper. So we are?
I don't know. What I'll get you guys. I'll give you a receipt.
Yeah, what does that mean? What does that mean, paper? What is it supposed to be?
It's codes. It's like shit like that.
Like a poem or something?
Yeah.
Please, anything you can get in like the CVS clearance aisle, that I think is categorized.
What is cotton?
Like
a t-shirt? happy second year anniversary.
Here, honey, here's a Hanes.
honey, we've been together for 2 years. Please take this ball of cotton.
That's even worse. I'd rather get a t-shirt. Like,
okay, but if it was this big, that'd be kind of fun.
Well, it'd be like a pillow. Ooh. Can you get a pillow?
I'm sure you can get like linen.
Sure. Like
linens. Cotton candy?
Cotton candy. Is there okay? You go. Peter Cottontail.
A bunny.
Get her a bunny.
Bunny.
There you go.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. We should... Man, I'm going to have fun on my anniversaries. I'm going to make some new jokes. Right,
question.
What?
Anniversaries.
All right, thanks, buddy. That's all we need out of you. Yeah, so happy anniversary. Should I, like, put something out for that?
What?
An anniversary thing? Like a retrospective? Or do we have enough highlights over the last year? I did that for the other podcast.
Yeah,
I think we have highlight.
I'll let you do it.
Can
I splice things? All right, well, here we go. So technically, we did Pompidou as an episode of the Nico Show on the 22nd.
But didn't we re-release it?
So the feed for the Pompidou podcast started on April 30th. So what's the anniversary?
I think the anniversary would be the 30th.
That's the anniversary.
Is that what you want to do? I mean, it gives us a week
because,
to prepare.
Because, yes.
We're going to fudge the data.
Well, no, because I was going to say, doing it on the Nico Show, that was like the date.
Right.
Oh, you're right.
You don't celebrate
right.
The date. You celebrate when you're actually a couple.
I like it.
That's fair.
I like it. We became official.
So we put it in the hole.
We stopped talking.
We became Facebook official.
So we'll call...
on the 30th.
So we'll call next Wednesday, the 27th, our... that's when we're celebrating it. Sure.
So this week is just regular 420.
Blaze it.
Oh, we blew that one too! Isn't it Hitler's birthday today?
I don't know if that's...
I don't know. I never knew if that was a thing.
No, Hitler's birthday is 420. For sure.
I don't even care.
I don't think they're exclusive. I don't think like they have anything to do with each other.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. No, but I think it's Hitler's birthday. No, 420 is like...
Oh, no, it is. Yeah, it is.
1889. Jesus.
Isn't 420 like the... Isn't this like Hell Week? Doesn't every like bad world event like Columbine happen this week?
I hope so.
Oh my god. It was all
events
like...
Events that happened.
It was all put in like this week.
Today.
The Newtown thing. There's a lot of shit.
Today in history.
Or maybe it wasn't. Newtown
Hitler
was
born.
December.
You knew that.
April 18th, I think. Okay, that's not right.
That's not okay.
All right, website.
I can change it. Hold on. April 20th.
Go. Gotta click go.
Gotta click. It won't update. You gotta click the button.
Telling you.
Now it's frozen. What's going on? There we go.
It's like Hell Week.
Okay, let's see.
Advertising.
British troops begin the siege of Boston.
Captain Cook discovers Australia. That's a problem.
France declares war on Austria, Prussia, and Sardinia.
Sardinia. That's when that was a country. That's how long ago that happened.
Napoleon Bonaparte defeats Austria.
Wisconsin was created. That's a problem.
Edgar Allan Poe's first detective story was published. That's awesome.
Robert E. Lee resigns from the U.S. Army, then promptly becomes the town manager of Plainville.
The Polish Army captures...
That's some inside baseball.
The first electron microscope was demonstrated.
Soviet troops attack Berlin.
Wow, you give it your take. U.S. planes bomb... pronounce that.
Haiphong.
Okay. For the first time during Vietnam.
New Orleans Citizens Committee gives free one-way ride to blacks to move north.
Oh, no. Columbine did happen.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's like Hell Week.
That's the only thing.
That's like the only really...
I thought a bunch of bad shit happened this week. I remember hearing
This week. We might have to check the next, couple days.
Yeah. Oh, no, not just on 420. On, the whole week. It's like Hell Week.
Who was born? Let's see.
Marcus Aurelius. I don't know who the Roman emperor.
Of course.
Napoleon III, emperor of France.
Yep, and Hitler.
And Hitler.
Yeah.
A lot of dictators.
Actually, Napoleon was born on my birthday. We share a birthday. Napoleon, Paula Deen, Jennifer Lawrence, and Nico DiGregorio, all born on the same day.
Let's see who's both.
What a life.
It's a great lineup.
I was born on the same day as Andrew Jackson. President Andrew Jackson.
I couldn't tell you one interesting thing about Andrew Jackson.
He's on he was money, born right? on the
I think
same...
he shot a guy. It's pretty interesting, right?
Okay, who else was born on it? Miranda Kerr.
Who?
Miranda Kerr. She's a model.
The great Miranda.
Jessica Lange.
Chester C.
Chester C was born.
Is this something we should do at the beginning of each podcast? Just go over who was born today?
Let's do it.
No, because that's my new bit on the radio show bombing.
Fuck it. Carmen Electra was born.
It'll bomb even better here. Born.
George Takei.
Ooh.
Oh,
Andy
Serkis.
Andy Serkis. Circus? Circus? How does
circus.
He pronounce
it? Circus.
Hadley Waltz.
Okay.
15 years old.
The great.
A reality star.
There's a lot of Vine stars on there,
Why
right?
Why does that count?
Let's see who we got. Who else do we have? Napoleon III. Yeah, we knew that.
Oh, Napoleon's my day.
No, Napoleon III. Who's not Napoleon Bonaparte.
Oh, who's Napoleon III?
He's a different one. It's Louis Napoleon.
Oh.
Or Louis or something.
Is it the pig and animal farm? Is that Napoleon?
Not that one. Oh. Donovan Weatherspoon.
Don't know who that is. Oh, he's a Vine star. He's a Vine star.
Oh, this my favorite phrase in the world. I love that phrase.
Not a real phrase.
It's such an oxymoron.
Okay, so Horse and Pete.
Oh, that was a perfect way of introducing an episode about nothing. Of
I actually think so. No. I'm telling you, this was a metaphor.
Yeah,
it's an allegory.
We're on episode.
Symbolism.
We're on episode 3. I want to get some business out of the way. I am on Louis C.K.'s email list because obviously.
Why not?
I like there are times where he just writes emails to his fans and he just starts rambling and rambling. That's where the Trump thing, where he said that Trump is Hitler, that was just in the PS of his email list. It's amazing. So he wrote a five, oh my God, even more, 10 paragraph thing about how Horace and Pete is done. They just aired episode 10 and that's going to be the last episode. I think there's some finality to it. And I don't know what that is. I didn't look up spoilers or anything. But episode 10 is done. So when we're done with this, it's going to be all over.
That's going to be sad.
Yeah, what are you typing?
I don't really know, to be honest. Okay. He told me to just put my email in. I'm sure that you could hear in the mic just me clicking away at keys.
Louis C.K. email list?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Something 100% not right. It's bugging me. So
should
I'm
be worried?
No, I want you to move Superman and Aquaman's eyes in this picture.
Oh, you want me to Photoshop for you?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's just really bugging me that their eyes are lit up.
I have people just randomly ask me to Photoshop things. Our friend Annalise the other day, she just messages me on Facebook. She goes, "Hey, can you do me a favor?" And I go, "What's up?" She goes, "Can you Photoshop Obi-Wan Kenobi wearing a sombrero?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah."
But she realizes that's already been done.
Well, so I did it. And I was like, huh, whenever I Photoshop something for Annalise, I always try to think of a pun. So then I was like, okay, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know?
Very nice.
Yeah.
With a J.
And then apparently that's why she wanted it. And yeah. I never saw that before.
Well, not that it's that. That's been a thing for a while.
Which Obi-Wan?
Ewan McGregor.
So not Obi-Wan.
Ewan McGregor.
No.
I like Ewan McGregor.
You need to give Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan.
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan Obi-Wan?
I'm giving him Obi-Wan. Hell yeah.
You're going to take it away from the great Alec Guinness? The god among men, Alec Guinness?
I don't give a shit about him.
How dare you? I will say Ewan is the best part of the prequels. He is by far the most fun. He's having so much fun.
You just call him Ewan?
Yeah, he did.
Wait, but what is it?
Ewan.
It's Ewan?
Ewan McGregor.
I thought it was
Ewan McGregor.
No, you said Ewan McGregor, and then all of a sudden you started saying Ewan.
Ewan.
It's not Ewan.
I've always said Ewan.
Ewan.
Maybe
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor.
It's a great star.
But yeah, he's a good actor, even in other things. You know, he's pretty good.
Trainspotting?
Big Fish, you ever seen that?
I've not seen Big Fish.
Not bad.
Burton, right?
You just named the four movies I know him from. Prequels and Trainspotting. That's it. I'm out. I'm done.
Wow, I couldn't tell you another Ewan McGregor movie. Couldn't tell you another one. Great.
He's alright. He's a good guy.
And we're giving him you know what? Fine. He earned Obi-Wan.
Yeah, let's give him a Watati.
No,
the Obi-Wan Watati.
No, I just like how he was playing Alec Guinness playing Obi-Wan.
He looks so weird without facial hair.
He does.
Doesn't he? He looks so young.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like a 15-year-old boy.
He's an attractive man, right?
Yeah, he's real good looking.
Yeah. Horace and Pete is done, guys. So we don't have a really good track record with the shows that we recap on
No, I like that. I don't want us to fall into a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot this movie existed.
We're still waiting for BBC to give us the call and say that they're doing another Pompidou, but I don't know.
We're obviously the first people they're going to call.
Absolutely.
Because it has to be announced on our podcast.
Of course. 100%.
Could you imagine if Matt Lucas called us, "Hey, chaps"?
Good afternoon.
Motherfucker. Can you believe that we started our podcast with that fucking show?
Yeah.
That's what we did.
Man, how far we've come in a year. We definitely got to do that retrospective next week. Yeah,
you get on that, Nico.
Yeah, so 10 episodes, it's over. I don't know how it ends, and I'm not going to get spoiled on it. But it has continued to push the boundaries in episode 3, and that's making me quite upset that it's ending. You know?
Yeah, no, it's been a very, very different kind of show.
Sure. That's the word, different.
But I like it. Yeah. You've done a good job.
Yeah, no, I really like it. I like it, I think, more than I should, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought that we would get into a Louis C.K. television show like this. This podcast.
I loved Louie. And you guys need to watch Louie.
Well, I have watched Louie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen an episode here, though.
It's not so much that we're doing a Louie show that is, like, so interesting to me. It's the fact that it works so well with what we do.
Yeah.
The show, it seems to have been created for us, in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me pull up the name of the actress in this.
Episode?
Her name is Lori Metcalf. She's in one episode, and it's just this one.
And her name is Sarah in the show.
She also plays Andy's mom in Toy Story. She's the voice of Andy's mom.
Oh, yeah? And you said that she's also...
Andy's she's also Sheldon's mom from Big Bang Theory.
Gotta go. Sorry.
Sure.
She's pretty old.
Pretty old.
But she doesn't really have it going on.
I will say that this is probably the most experimental the show has been to this date.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I'll give you that. Yeah.
There were two camera shots. No, that's not true. There were a couple more. The bathroom intermission. I forgot about that.
The show is essentially two people in a room together talking for 45 minutes.
It didn't even feel like it.
It really didn't.
All of a sudden it was over.
It felt like we were watching it for like 20.
I got to tell you, I think this is my favorite episode of the show yet. I think it's incredible.
Well, let me put it this way, though. This was kind of like the Fly episode of Breaking Bad. This was that weird episode that everyone's going to remember. It seems to have nothing to do with the plot, but yet it reveals so much.
The Fly had something, though. Like, the Fly, like, it felt like there was some business. As our screenwriting director said, there's business going on in the scene. He's actually going after the Fly. There's a setup. This is no setup.
Well, okay, yeah, but let me – I'm thinking of it in this aspect, all right? Because there was also an episode of X-Files that was reminding me of the Fly episode for the same kind of reason, whereas this one episode stood out more than any other episode for its – lack of having anything to do with the current plot of the show.
They call them bottle episodes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But at the same time, it reveals so much about the show.
It really does.
And about the characters. This episode was that episode.
Yeah.
Watching this one, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, we've always said it's like people are actually, like, in a room talking. I felt really uncomfortable.
Felt like we weren't supposed to be there, right?
Yeah. I was watching it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it's supposed to be, like, supposed to be a sort of normal conversation how people would actually talk. But watching it, I'm like, yeah.
Invasive, isn't it?
I feel wrong. Isn't good. This is...
Gotta say, though, Louis C.K. and this actress, I can't remember her name again, what was it? I remember Sarah.
Sarah, we'll call her Sarah.
Sarah. Sarah and Horace.
Lori Metcalf. I want to say that name because I want to make a point about her in a minute, but go ahead.
Horace and Sarah's relationship in the episode, their Louis C.K.'s and hers acting styles, really felt like, and I have nothing to compare this to, but it felt like what I would imagine two people who were 11 years apart, who were married, and then he cheated on her by fucking her sister,
yeah,
who was his age, yeah, and then got divorced, and then years later met up again, and she was telling him a story.
This is a very specific scenario you're coming up
exactly
with.
Exactly. But it felt 100% yeah, sincere and accurate. Yeah. It felt like exactly how it would have been played out.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, and it's something that you have nothing to compare to.
That's the brilliance of the show. And it's I saw a lot of it, and we'll get into what exactly this says about the characters. But the way that they played off each other, specifically the way that they used humor and the way, like, they every once in a while they had to insert a joke just to, like, take a breather and just laugh as a way of coping with this horrible pain that they're feeling in their lives, that's what felt real to me. It's like when Sarah's character called their daughter fat or whatever, and they just, like, chuckled for a little bit, or they would just insert, like, these little moments. It's like, wow, that is how a conversation goes. Two people that are clearly very intimate with each other, very honest, and that care about each other, but they're also not in love, so it's not quite, like, romantic intimacy. It's just, like, a very strong friendship that the two have.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we have nothing to compare to. We don't know what they were like before, because we don't see that, but seems like they're closer now, especially after this episode, than they were. You know, at the end, she says bye, hun, kisses him on the forehead.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it sort of seems like if you – and I maybe Nick can attest to this. Nico definitely can't.
As in most things in the show.
Any way to put you down, Nico.
That's fine.
But no, when you do eventually, like, sort of break up with someone, but you do remain friends, there's always sort of this feeling that you really do care what they think of you, and you do sort of want to get their approval on something. Am I wrong here, Nick?
I think it's the same way that here's something maybe Nico can compare to then. I think it's the same way that with your, like, siblings, for example. As you get older, you guys grow apart, but you know what? Deep down, I think, like, if your sibling, if somebody that you know kind of says, like, oh, you're a failure, you haven't, like, you know, if they say something like that, whatever, fuck you. When your sibling says it, though, sometimes it digs at you. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. It's like you care what they think about you just because you have that connection with them that you don't have with anyone else. And I think being in a relationship with someone, you develop a sort of bond.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they say. When you're in a relationship with someone for long enough, you no matter what, even if you guys break up or
right,
if you're with somebody intimately for an extended period of time,
a long time,
you develop a connection, and yeah, it doesn't go away.
And you still care about that person.
Yeah, there's always going to be, yeah.
That's just how it is.
There's always going to be something down the smallest bit of, you know, I really do sort of still care about them, not in a romantic kind of way, but just how they're doing and whatnot. Yeah,
and it's clearly something that Louis has nailed in his various TV shows and even in his stand-up, too. Divorce is a big part of it because he went through it with his own wife.
Well, yeah, and I think that's what it is he has been through it, so he knows exactly how to write it, how to stage it, how to talk about it and whatnot. And
do you know why he got divorced? I don't actually know this.
I don't either.
Is this like
his real life divorce?
Yes.
I just think it was one of those things where
he was on the road too much, and it was just kind of.
Well, no, I think it was.
Or they just didn't fit.
I think it was something like, you know, in a relationship, sometimes things just fizzle. And you don't really care for them as much as you did, and I think that's what happened. I might be wrong. I'm sort of speculating, but it seems that if you listen to his stand-up when he's talking about it, he's talking about how much he does love his wife, and then later on and whatnot. But then he always sort of said, like, "Oh, fuck you. You know, I don't care about you anymore," and shit like that. And I think that's sort of the whole, yeah, we're married and we love each other, but I just don't feel the same anymore.
Yeah, I can't find anything on here.
I think it's just a fizzled thing.
Maybe he doesn't quite talk about that in that much detail either.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't know. So we can only...
Could be. It might have involved cheating. It might have had something to do with it. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But yeah, something about that dynamic, it was just really real. And I'll say about these two, especially her, I thought her performance was incredible.
Absolutely.
Oh, I thought it was a stunning performance.
Give her an Oscar.
Sure, give her an Oscar. Give her whatever. Put it this way, she's a front runner for the Wattati.
Oh my god.
Let's give her a Louis. The Louis Award.
The Louis Award.
There needs to be that. Louis. That needs to be a thing. But even Louis in
just
this...
just a tiny statue of Louis C.K. not even, like, painted. Like,
got his arms like crossed. Like...
Why are they called Oscars? Is there a guy named Oscar?
Maybe. I don't know. It's just the name of the guy. The statue is just Oscar. Someone nicknamed it an Oscar at some point. I don't know.
That's weird.
They're the Academy Awards. It's the nickname.
No, they're the Oscars.
I'm just saying. But, no, I thought he was really good in it, too. He was his performance, and he's a guy that's clearly not an actor, but is sort of transitioning into becoming an actor as of late. He has a lot of movie roles.
He's not an actor, but he's not an actor.
Yeah, but when he, when his ex-wife told him about how his son is doing, and the look on his face, the reaction, just to find out that his son was doing well, like, that part moved me, man. I was sucked in.
There's something about a dad and his son in anything hits me every time.
Yeah.
Something about it.
I know.
You know what I mean?
No, 100%.
Like, most things I won't give a shit. Like, a dog blows up, I don't care. But, like...
Well, you are a sort of heartless person.
But yeah, but with the dad and the son, man, my tears. I don't know why.
Yeah,
it's, that's what gets me.
I think, because I'm really close to my dad, too. I could see that being a thing.
Yeah, no, me too.
For sure. So that's you. Yeah, but no, but something about it is just like... Because you see... Clearly, his son doesn't want him in his life, but all he wants to know is that he's okay.
There was a moment, too, when she said, your son is doing great.
Yeah.
I think it started out for a split moment. I think he was like, does that make me feel better or does that make me feel worse?
Yeah.
You saw that?
He doesn't say anything, really, during it. Like, he says just like, oh, good, good. Like, he's just sort of – but it's – And I said this when we were watching, you know, he has such great facial expressions.
Mm-hmm. He's really great with the facial expressions.
He's great with the facial expressions. And he sort of showed pure agony in hearing that his son was okay. And then it went from to sort of a pained happiness.
Well, no, he's
like, he goes, oh, that sucks. I'm not in his life, but he's happy. And that's all I ever wanted
He was in pain when his mom said that, you know, he said not to say anything about
him.
But then when she actually gets to talking, and this was clearly on purpose, the stuff that she says is all just cliche, just run-of-the-mill, you know, how a normal young man is doing in life. Just he's doing well. He's got a girl. It's this, whatever. He's got a good job, whatever.
He's a great kid.
But that's all he had to hear, and he just broke down. And you see so much emotion out of a guy who at this point in the show has not been very emotive. Like, he's not nearly as...
He's been very vanilla, very plain.
Sure,
very...
and purposefully, because he's supposed to be the straight man in the show. But, yeah, when that happens, it's just... And it felt earned. Like, it felt like that moment was earned because you'd spent so much time with these two talking to each other. You felt their relationship. You felt how that family was broken apart. You know, you understood how he just totally fucked it up and how he carried
strangely
that.
Through an analogy of what she was going through.
Yeah.
Which is,
Let's talk about how the show opened before.
Yeah, how long was that cut? That one take there?
I think it was like 8 minutes, right? 8-9 minutes?
Before it cut to Louis for the first time?
Should we say like 10, just 10, rounded up roughly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe under 10.
Yeah, but 10-ish.
Yeah. It literally opens with a shot of Sarah's face, and she's just talking. Mm-hmm. Just talking.
But and it's like mid-conversational.
It's conversational, too, in the sense that, like, you can hear ums and uhs. Like, she's really telling a story. This doesn't feel scripted.
And she's clearly talking to someone, too.
And she's clearly talking, yes.
Yeah.
And the story at first just starts out, like, she's literally saying the most random shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's just talking about regular, everyday, random shit, which is, like, how Louis is. And how this show is, but it's even more peculiar.
Mm-hmm. She's talking about her new husband, right? And then I think the whole thing is a slow build up to it.
Yeah, then she starts talking about her husband's dad. He's shirtless. And
yes.
Yeah, but
it's weird, and then it just gets vulgar and uncomfortable.
But it seems like, you know, watching it, it sort of seemed like it was the middle of the conversation because she's talking about. She goes like, oh, you know Glenn and blah blah blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But we don't know Glenn. We didn't know who the hell
we don't know
Glenn
who
is.
She is.
We don't know who she is. We don't know, even we don't know who she's talking to.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we sort of it was obvious.
You guys ended up predicting, that it was going to be. Either, you said it was either going to be
a sleeping Buscemi,
yeah,
confused Louis. And then I said, it's going to cut to Louis, and he's just going to be confused.
Right.
And that's exactly what it was.
That's exactly what it was.
Because it was just her talking, and because we knew she was talking to someone, but you didn't hear any voice. It was just her going on and on and on, stream of conscious. So it was, the buildup was, all right, they're going to cut eventually. What's the cut going to be?
Yeah, who is it? Who's
and
the cut?
And when it turns to confuse Louis with that, like, signature, just baffled just look on his
Louis
face.
Just the confused Louis look, yeah. Zach the look he does so well.
Zach and I started dying and high-fived each other. It was like we called it, yeah.
Yeah.
So it starts building up. Yeah, keep going.
And it's just, it seemed like she was trying to get personal with, at this point, whoever it was, but was still trying to keep a distance.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, it's like an awkward topic and she wasn't making eye contact and all that stuff, but you could sort of feel like she wanted to, but had to stop herself from doing it.
Well, think about how the buildup was so long and there was so much detail put into it, and it almost felt like this was justification for her. And then the whole point of the story is to say, I'm having an affair with my husband's father.
Yes.
That's all she had to say. But it was all build up. This is why I did it. This is my reasoning. This is how it started. And she's rationalizing her own destruction in her own head.
These were the course of events that were out of my control that led to
Exactly. Not trying to take the blame, which is how so many affairs and divorces and
it's how everything is.
It's how anything.
Nobody ever wants to take blame for that.
Absolutely. And then the final realization of what's going on, Louis just says, sounds like you're fucking him, huh? And she's like, yeah. And it just turned it. That's like no part of the story. So it's interesting that the buildup. You're 100% right. She is not trying to get personal. She keeps trying to dance around the topic, mm-hmm. you know. And that's as you know. I'm sure this is not for most people, and I'm sure a lot of people would hate the borderline pretentiousness of how long this monologue was. But it is 100% to service that point. It's that she doesn't want to come out with the raw truth, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Which makes sense because it is a tough topic.
Yeah.
You know, even if you don't go through, I don't think really any of us have been through something like that. But mm-hmm. even then, we could be like, this is raw. This isn't okay. It's uncomfortable.
Sure.
Like I said.
Well, it was very uncomfortable when she started talking about masturbating.
Well, yeah.
And she's an old woman.
Yeah. She's older.
How old is Horace? Do we know?
Well, Horace is probably like 50 something.
45, 50.
Well, hold on. We can sort of do math. Okay. He got married at 21.
Mm-hmm.
He has a daughter who's about to graduate law school.
That's going to be 8 years.
So 8 years.
Of school.
So if he had the kid at 20, she's 21.
26. So he's probably late 40s.
Yeah.
Late 40s, maybe early 50s. She's 11 years older. So she's in her 60s.
Yeah.
She's like 60 years old.
He was born in 1967, so he's...
Well, that's 40, Louis.
He's 48.
I mean...
Talking about Horace.
But yeah, it's supposed to be sort of.
Course, yeah. Yeah.
So
she's about 60 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
She's talking about 3 months ago, she says.
Yeah.
She was masturbating upstairs with her paper-thin walls while her husband's father was working below.
Was 10 feet away, vertically.
Vertically. Yeah, she
says, yeah. And this is by
the way. That's a great line.
This is like 15, 20 minutes into the episode.
The writing is so good.
That had to have been like 30.
Yeah.
The writing is so good. No, it wasn't 30.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, because it was
intermission.
It was like half.
And it's also fucking hilarious, too.
Yeah.
It's like, it is dramatic, just tension, but it's also really, really funny, which is great writing. Yeah, it's incredible to think that Louis C.K. is at a Starbucks somewhere because that's where he writes all his stuff on his laptop at a Starbucks. You know, he's just typing away at this show.
I can imagine, like, people coming up to him, like, are you Louis? And he's like, yes, I'm Louis.
I'm writing
yeah.
about an old woman masturbating. Yeah. Get out of my hair.
Can you fuck off?
and then he writes about that in his next stand-up.
Trying to enjoy my pumpkin spice. Get away.
Motherfucker.
He doesn't drink a pumpkin spice.
No. It's definitely a venti, though.
Oh, 100% a venti.
okay.
I don't drink Starbucks.
I'm sorry. Louis doesn't drink anything but the venti.
Is that what he says?
By the way, is 20. Well, I don't understand why that's a size.
20 ounces.
What?
Is that really what it is?
Yeah.
Is that really what it is?
Yeah.
I don't drink all... I don't
12 drink ounces, 16 ounces, 20 ounces.
Wait, what's 12 and 16?
Well, it's tall. It's 12 ounces.
Right.
Grande is 16 ounces. And then the venti is 20 ounces. That's why it's venti.
I didn't know that.
Jesus Christ. You fucks.
Drink coffee?
That's like... standard drink size.
Oh, look at the barista over here.
I didn't know that standard drink size for coffee.
Can you put some whipped cream on top of it? Jesus,
I don't
Christ.
Like whipped cream. That's disgusting.
Oh, you got me a leaf in my foam.
I know how to.
Get some Splenda out.
It's not easy.
Splenda.
Yeah. So it is really funny. The writing is bizarre and crazy, and I don't know how you think of it, but he thought of it, and he just kept going and going and going and going, and the actress kept going and going and going. And it was all one take, too. There were no cuts.
Is this Louis' sick fantasies? Like, is this where he comes up with this? I feel like Louis is the type who writes his own porno in his head and then converts it into a screenplay.
Okay, here's a question for you. How much pot is he smoking when he's writing all of this?
Is he, though?
Here's what I know. Back when Louis had Twitter, I don't think he has Twitter anymore because he doesn't trust himself with a Twitter feed. But
would you?
True
you
story.
Was that, his last tweet?
True story.
Like, I don't trust myself with a Twitter feed.
Louis C.K. got super high one night and started just going on a Twitter rampage, and it was bizarre crazy.
I saw that.
Yeah. So I gotta think, like, Horace and Pete, it's just a little bit. Maybe just a puff.
Who was that? You remember that stand-up comedian that we saw at Oddball on the small stage? Gets everybody pumped. He had that show.
Oh, Brody Stevens?
Brody Stevens. Steven Brody Stevens.
Yes!
How did you forget his name?
That was your boy!
You were raving about him the entire day.
I still love him. I just can't remember his name.
Positive Push.
I know it's a first Positive name, push. Middle name, and then the last name is the same as the first
Steven
name.
Steven Brody Stevens.
Steven Brody Stevens. Yes. It's ridiculous.
But I don't think that's his actual name.
It doesn't matter.
I think his name is Steven Brody.
Doesn't matter. It could be Brody Stevens.
Or Brody Stevens, yeah.
Anyways, though, he, apparently a bunch of people, he had like a meltdown, and everybody found out he had a meltdown because of Twitter, because he was literally tweeting nonstop for like, and I'm talking like every minute, for like 72 hours straight.
Yeah, I gotta stay off of Twitter.
That's Twitter's a dangerous, like, gateway drug.
It is bad. I've gone on a Twitter rampage.
Do you remember how dank I got when I had my old Twitter? Remember?
Dang, I know you renamed your Twitter feed Lee Harvey Oswald.
I hope that explains what kind of Twitter feed I had.
My favorite thing is when he went to go see – you went to see Obama or you were walking the event?
No, I went to go see Obama speak. I got tickets to go see Obama speak.
And he goes, oh, I should probably change my Twitter.
Yeah, so I changed my Twitter name for the day away from Lee Harvey Oswald.
Probably a good move. Probably would raise a few Secret Service eyebrows.
Yeah, so – yeah, that's – Twitter was dangerous.
Twitter was dangerous. One dangerous.
Exactly one.
All right, this is from October 8th, 2014. Louis C.K. goes on an eccentric Twitter rant. It feels like Mars used to be a here that got globally warmed by some very us-y people things. That's a direct quote.
Sadly, I followed all of that.
I'm not saying I can prove it. I'm just saying it feels like it. It feels like they left Mars on a moon that they pushed out of orbit and rode over here to try to orbit what was Earth. That's the only way we could have billions of people-y types. But their moon crashed into pre-Earth and everyone died.
Pre-Earth. Pre-Earth.
Perth, for short.
It's what happened before the Big Bang. It was like the little part of jizz that came out before the Big Bang happened. They called it pre-Earth.
The pre-cum. Yeah, I got you.
Did I get the joke down there?
Thank you.
Oh, fuck.
Audience was turned off.
Audience liked it.
By that one.
What was left turned into here and our moon and got seeded by Marsian corpse DNA and later we'll use our moon to go back. That's what it feels like anyway.
So you just described a less interesting Scientology.
That's a more interesting Scientology. Let me just make things clear.
The moon is a shuttle, is what he's saying.
I would much rather do the Louis C.K. thing than go clear.
Is that what it's called? Is going clear?
Here's a must watch for you. Going clear, the Prison of Belief or something.
Yeah, I found it.
The Scientology HBO documentary that came out last year. Incredible.
You know, none of those celebrities are Scientologists anymore.
I think they just quit recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like not even
Cruz just got out, right?
Yeah. Well, he got out like a year ago.
Cruz was the big – Cruz was the sort of the – or something. The big one, and then sort of everyone – no one cared. Because no one really cares about Scientology.
What's Travolta doing?
And so
is Travolta
still? I don't care.
Yeah. I will say, the documentary – do you like Tom Cruise?
Sorry.
Yeah, you won't after this. When you find out the shady things that Tom Cruise was doing and the abusive... I'm not going to spoil anything. Just watch
it. Should we watch it for our podcast?
No. Not for the podcast, but it's a really good documentary. Check it out. No, Louis C.K., yeah, he smokes a ton of weed before writing these things, I'm sure.
Good.
Whoa.
So he gets high, then goes to Starbucks.
Yeah,
Go and Clear has a 94 on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's a really good doc.
I need to watch that.
So now I'm not even imagining Louis C.K. getting pissed off and annoyed when someone comes up to him at Starbucks. I'm imagining him panicking. just like he's super high, his eyes are all red, and he's like, are you Louis C.K.? He's like, what? Fuck. Ah. What?
Starbucks should really get into the pop brownie game.
Yeah, I bet you in Colorado.
Yeah, I could see that. Starbucks is a good, like, pothead place. I agree. Just the color of the cups, you know?
Yeah.
It's very earthy. Not moon earthy or whatever it is. Pre-earth.
Pre-earthy.
Pre-earthy. All right, yeah, so let's get back to this episode.
What else is there to say?
We're going all over the fucking place.
Well, yeah, it's a continuous thing. She keeps talking and talking, and it intercuts finally with Louis, and then they get into this conversation, and essentially she wanted advice from Louis about how to deal with this crisis that she's having.
Well, she didn't want advice, really. She wanted Louis to tell her exactly what to do. Because Louis said, okay...
Well, really, she didn't want Louis to tell her what to do. She wanted Louis to tell her...
How to feel.
To justify what she's gonna do.
Yeah, well, when Louis told
her... That's what it came down to at the very end.
Yeah, when Louis told her, you know, you have two options here.
Mm-hmm.
She goes... She sort of essentially says, I know, what do I do? Mm-hmm. And then Louis was like, leave. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, but at the end, they basically both agree. Like, yeah. You're gonna do what you're gonna do what you're already doing. Nothing's gonna change, and it's gonna end miserably, and that's what's gonna happen.
Accept it. Yeah.
That's so. At the end of the day, really, the entire discussion was about nothing.
Sort of, but it was about a lot of things.
I know. Yeah.
Because the backstory here is that Louis cheated on his ex-wife. The reason that they're split up, and the reason why his family has fallen apart.
And this is the one thing we have not known.
Yeah.
This entire time
is that Louis had an affair with his wife's sister. While they were married, and that's what tore the whole family apart. That's why there's a strained relationship with his daughter that she has not forgiven him for what he did to the family, and that's why his son isn't talking to him, and that's why the divorce happened, is because he was a cheating sack of shit and really tore the family apart, and she essentially wanted to know, like, how did you get through this? Like, how did you do such a horrible thing and make it out on the other side? And he essentially said, like, yeah, I don't really know. Life just sort of went on. And I think he recognized, and I think this is what ultimately this episode is about, that the two of them are just destructive people. They are people that tear down everything in their path. And he put it like, you know, we're just not built for marriage. We're just not good at marriage. And that's fine. But this is a really interesting look at what destructive people are like. And how they are just unable to put anybody else first before themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it's also, you know, just a little bit of a commentary on how so many people are always looking. They always feel like they need to be married to be complete.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's trying to say, like, that's a sack of shit. Some people aren't meant for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people are better off not being married. So just don't be. I think it's commentary on his real life, too. It always is. As it always is.
Yeah.
Do you think the character of Horace is happy in this show, though?
No.
No. Because he certainly, when he was having this conversation, implied that and actually said, like, I was
thinking about that and how he was lying the entire time to her.
Absolutely.
100% lying.
Absolutely.
Well, I think this whole sort of episode was about justifying what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was saying, yeah, I'm okay and all this, he was trying to justify that he is okay when he's not okay.
No, he's definitely not
okay. Yeah, it's interesting because he said, you know, you're going to be okay because I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you're where I was. And he said, and your husband's going to be okay because you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's where you were.
But none of them are okay.
And our kids are his kids are going to be okay because look at our kids and they're okay.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day.
And then he broke. That was the moment
where. But at the end of the day, it's obvious that none of them are okay.
No.
Not any of them are okay.
Absolutely not. The family's destroyed forever because of this. It's not going to.
Are they destroyed or are they, like you said, though, like just destructive people? Like. Are they destroyed because of what he did, or are they just destroyed? Like, they're just not good people. Like, not that they're bad people, but they're not good people at being with other people.
It's not...
You know what I'm trying to say?
I don't think the show places blame on any of them, as the show tends to do. I don't think that the show blames Horace or blames the ex-wife, Sarah.
I don't think it blames them individually.
I think
collectively, maybe.
Yeah, I'm saying it's.
I think the show does recognize what they're all about and where the natural course of these characters is going to end up leading. You know, these two people are not meant to be happily married, and that's just the way that it is. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily that it's good or bad. And Horace even says this in the show. It's they are miserable because of the decisions that they've made, and it was always going to be this way, which is kind of sad. And who knows where it starts. I mean, there is some stuff, you know, Alan Alda's character provides a little insight into the upbringing of these people. And ultimately, that is what the whole show is about, this vicious cycle of generations go by and tradition continues to happen. And
is it good? Is it bad?
Right. But also, and this is one of the negatives, no one steps back and looks at what the problem is, you know? These are generations of unhappy marriages, unhappy family units.
You know, that's actually, if we're going to go back to that tradition versus... You know, that thing we've been talking about overall. Think about, like, what he recommended to her. Get out.
Yeah. Leave.
He said leave. Leave the tradition, basically. Get out of this cycle. Mm-hmm. Get out of – but, of course, at the end they say, but it's not going to happen. You're not going to.
Yeah.
You're going to stay in. That's how it goes.
Yes. You are literally destroying everything. Step away. Get out of here. You are the Incredible Hulk smashing everything in your path.
But you're not going to.
Go hide in Africa somewhere. Yeah, you absolutely. Know? No, 100%.
So let me ask you guys this, and we obviously don't know who this character is. I don't know if we ever will. Mm-hmm. What does that say about his son? His son, who seems to be the one person who maybe has their life together. We know that from hearsay.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, but do we really know that?
We don't. But
I mean, for all we know, he could be doing heroin in an abandoned house and not going to school.
Mm-hmm.
But she just decides to tell him that to make him feel better.
It certainly seems like he's gotten away out of this hellhole that is the Horace and Pete bar.
Right? I mean, it just seemed like everything they said to each other throughout the episode seemed pretty genuine.
Yeah.
And the only lies they told each other were, like, lies that they were telling themselves too, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if I don't think she would lie about the son not being okay.
No, I think he's – I think – yeah.
I think the son's – but maybe there's a little bit of that mother's, optimism.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah,
for sure.
But
well, I mean, okay. Let's be honest. If our parents ever talk to other people about us, I'm sure they said, "Oh yeah, you know, they're great kids," but we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, no one's perfect, but your parents are gonna sort of assume that you are.
It literally sounded like she was describing everything that was the opposite of Horace. Yeah, the girl. Yeah. He loves life. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Yeah.
It's interesting to say that because I was thinking. I find it interesting how. They don't say his name. They don't say the son's name.
It's probably Horace, isn't it?
It's probably Horace, but the fact that all she said was like, oh yeah, your son is doing... Like, she's not saying, oh yeah, Horace is... Okay, Horace is doing this. Even he doesn't say... He said, oh yeah, I follow him on Instagram. He went to Peru and he's doing all these things. But nope, they never said his name.
See, it sounds like...
And I think that they both want... I think they are both sort of putting all their faith mm-hmm. in his son... To break the tradition, finally.
Yeah, and it looks like it. Put it this way, it's hard to believe that he's doing worse than these characters.
Yeah,
in which the sister is suing the uncle and is trying to get the bar shut down, and Pete has schizophrenia, and Horace is divorced and unhappy and just broke up with his girlfriend and trying to rekindle a broken relationship with his daughter. It's a broken family unit, and not a lot is good. But it is just this continuous thing. Where they fail to step back and say, you know what? What we're doing here is not working. What we're doing here is destroying everything on our path, but we're choosing to ignore it. And we're choosing to justify it, and we're choosing to ultimately just, you know, at the end of the episode, Horace just says, you know you're going to keep cheating with the dad. You know you're not going to solve this problem. So quit whining about it and just go out and do it. And she accepts it, and she's like, yeah, I probably am, and I'm going to keep going out there. And it is that thing of... If you don't take a step back and really examine the tradition of this family, I don't know. Nothing's going to get better, you know? Nothing's going to get better.
He's right. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
what else is there to add?
It's awfully depressing, but yeah, I guess so. Do you want to talk about the middle of the episode?
Just the intermission that never happened?
Right, the intermission that never happened.
Because every episode, they fade to black.
Well.
Intermission for... 15 seconds, like a long 15 seconds.
Not even.
But it feels long.
It feels long.
Feels long.
It feels like a minute.
And then it goes back.
Long.
And then it goes back. This episode, I didn't even know it was an intermission. He walks away, steps in the bathroom, sits on the toilet.
To collect his thoughts.
Yes.
After his ex-wife has told him this
directly after describing her masturbation.
This erotic.
Very erotic.
Erotic tale of an old man and masturbation. Quote,
the most erotic thing ever.
Right.
This also is might what she says. This might explain his fascination with older women.
Oh, for sure.
And
oh, hands down.
He's got a thing for older women.
But you remember he had a younger girlfriend at the beginning?
Yeah.
And then he just like kicked her to the curb.
Tossed her away. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
Fairly attractive, like, you know, very nice, takes care of him. Nah, I like the older lady.
I think that.
No, I'm going to think about Jessica Lange.
I think that again goes back to my thing about him being the middle age or the age of perspective that we get through the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else is either older or younger than him.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I like it.
Middle of the road. He's 50 years old.
I like it.
You know? Anyhow, though, yeah, he goes to collect his thoughts after this very erotic description of what his ex-wife was doing.
Mm-hmm.
It basically – does it even dissolve or cut or anything? Or what does it do?
It does.
Do you remember the transition?
Yeah. He's in the bathroom. He sits down. They cut back to her for a couple seconds, and she's just waiting around for him.
Oh, okay.
And then they go back. He goes to wash his hands.
The way he pumps the soap.
Yeah.
It's very specific.
Dude fucking jerked off in that bathroom.
Pretty
There's
sure.
no doubt in my mind.
Did you get that vibe?
I didn't think that, no.
I was like, I don't know, did he? Maybe? I couldn't really tell, but the way he pumped the soap, I think was I know it seems like such a stupid thing.
Oh, it's
but
an erotic
way,
pump.
The way he pumped the soap just was very, the action, the blocking of it was exactly like... It was exactly like how I feel like somebody would like pump the lotion before they're about to jerk off. Like nobody gets soap to wash their hands like that. You only do that when you're going to jerk off. I don't know. It seems like it's something I noticed.
Okay.
Maybe I'm the only one who can connect with that.
Yes, you are.
I'm okay with that. I can live with that.
No, here's the thing. We have we have established a precedent on this show. Of Louis C.K. jerking off. That's all I know.
Two old women.
Two stories of older
sick
women.
Sick
yes.
fantasies.
Absolutely.
Old lady sick fantasies.
Yes.
Which I think reflects the real Louis C.K.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
All I'm hearing in my head is, do you want to play cards?
Oh, so God. Why
play backgammon?
Yes. He took a break.
No, in last episode. During the fantasy, he just goes,
oh, yeah.
I came. And then, like, 2 seconds later, he's like, do you want to play cards?
Old maid. That's his favorite one right there.
Good one.
thank you.
And the thing that sealed it for me and the moment when I realized it is when he went back out and told her, my mind is clear. What the fuck does that mean? It can only mean one thing to me.
I think he said my head is clear.
Yes. There's only one time that I feel that my head is clear during the day. And that's after I pumped the soap.
I would like to point out, this is the second time that Nico has talked about his masturbatory habits. He talked about it this week and last week.
On the bright
side. Let's not make this a thing.
On the bright side.
Why is this a thing?
On the bright side, I do have one good thing to mention.
Oh, please tell me the bright side of this.
There was not too much rape in this episode.
Good point.
Which is good. This is one of the few times... That there was no rapey vibe.
Too much senior citizen sex.
Is there really that?
Yes. Yes, there is. Yeah. Yes.
I feel like senior citizen sex is like bees. Like, we don't want them around, but like, we need it. You know? It needs to be.
Do we need it?
I think so.
My aunt works.
Yeah.
I'd rather not think of walking into like an old folks home and everyone's just fucking each other. I don't need that in my head.
All I know is
they don't even know who they're fucking.
My aunt.
Exactly. They're blind. Yeah.
My aunt works at an Alzheimer's center with a bunch of old people. Oh. And she says that they do it quite often.
Do they?
Yes. They say, she goes like,
oh,
yeah.
No, it's a fact that you put a bunch of old lonely people in a community together. They're going to do it.
Yeah. She goes like,
I didn't ever considered that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, that's a thing. It's a big thing.
Yeah. She goes like, yeah, they got nothing better to do. And, you know, that's all dried up down there. Them?
No, I don't think they're probably like, go for it.
You can't.
Why not? It's urges. I mean, you still got the urges. Yeah.
I don't think they really care. They're like, do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I am all for old people having sex.
Yeah, I gotta tell you something.
I'm for it. I don't want to think about it. Just, I'm only saying that because when I'm old, I want to be having sex.
I support bees as well.
I don't.
It's the bee's knees.
I think I'd rather watch. I think I'd rather watch old person porn than get stung by a bee.
Really?
I think so. I
like a bumblebee or like a hornet?
Either.
Yeah, can we stop talking about bees?
I'd much rather imagine
talk more about old people sex. I don't want to talk about bees.
Wrinkly vaginas and saggy ball sacks. I'd much rather.
And down to the floor.
With warts all over them?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what we like.
That guy should not be putting his dick in the ring.
All right, we got to wrap this up.
Well, I got to tell you that. My grandmother, she's in a... It's not where you think it's going.
Are you sure it's not going where we think it's going?
She had sex with a bunch of... No. She got into a fight with a 101-year-old woman.
Yeah.
They, like, hit each other. Like, a fist fight.
Who won?
I don't know, but they both had to get taken to the fucking Yukon Health Center for, like, a psychiatric... like test, which is the funniest thing in the world, because
a psyche valve.
Did the woman steal your grandmother's like tapioca pudding?
It doesn't matter because it doesn't matter because here's the thing: by the time they got to Yukon Health Center, they didn't remember any of it.
Of course not.
Of course not.
They're in a dementia ward. What can you gain from a psych evaluation? Like
they didn't look for like concussions or something.
Like this person has ultra dementia.
Like you could do this. Like they don't remember anything. Okay, so we have no knowledge of what happened.
Yes.
Okay, are they crazy? Yeah, they're old. Okay.
Does
anything hurt? Yeah, everything hurts. Okay, we got nothing from this.
Exactly.
Like, what is the point?
Yeah,
old people are crazy. Yes. No kidding. What are we gonna do about it now? They're gonna die like tomorrow.
it's horrible, but. But it's pretty funny.
Oh, my gosh.
It's actually really, you know.
How old's your grandmother?
She's born in 1940. So she just turned.
Am I the only one who doesn't know the age?
76.
76 fighting a 101-year-old woman?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
25 years her senior.
Oh my god.
A quarter of a decade.
Scrappy. All right. Talk about the ending of this episode, then we gotta go because it's getting late.
How did it end?
Okay, so. Sarah leaves. He says bye to horse.
Is that what we're talking about? Just that one part? That one line?
Yes.
Yeah, God, yeah.
Okay.
And she leaves, and horse is not crying, but he's sort of like tearing up and about hearing about his son and whatnot.
I just want to point out, she says goodbye, hon, kisses him on the forehead. I'm going to point that out again.
Well,
that's the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just think saying goodbye,
it's a sweet little, like, yeah, they're friends. They care about each other.
They say that to me at gyms when I buy a sandwich.
Absolutely.
They kiss you on the forehead?
Well, no, but they say, like, all right, bye, hon, like, it's...
I could see them kissing you on the forehead at gyms.
Did Sanjay say that?
Sanjay did say it once, actually.
Bye-bye, hon.
Anyway, so he's sitting there. He's sort of wiping tears off. And Alan fucking Alda comes over, puts down a beer, and says... I can't believe you married that cunt.
Implying that he has listened to the entire conversation. Thing. Yeah.
And or another option, which is just as funny, mm-hmm. is he just came over and said it.
Yes.
Based on nothing.
Exactly.
It is the perfect button to that whole conversation. Yeah. That just never-ending conversation that we just watch, and then Alan Alda just comes in and tears it down. And, of course, Louis has that confused look as it goes into the credits. It's great. It's just amazing.
Interesting credits.
It's a great credit.
Credit sequence.
Yeah. What about it?
It was different than usual.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was him just sitting at the table, the credits.
Like, sort of recollecting himself.
Yeah, while he's collecting his thoughts. It was very different stylistically this episode.
For sure.
So.
Well, filmed the same way, but certainly, like, the feel. It felt...
Well, I mean, even, like, the credits and the intermissions and the intro, it was different. The camera work.
It feel a lot more intimate, too.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like you were really with those people. The other ones have felt like stage plays, which I really enjoyed, but this one felt like you were really with them. And, again, you were invading their personal lives and learning things you didn't want to really learn. But, excellent. Great performances, great writing. I'm sad that the show's ending.
Have you written a play?
I'm sure he will if he hasn't.
Because this would be a great play. Like,
no doubt. Yeah, no
like
doubt.
Like, if I don't know how you'd have to shorten it somehow, but.
Well.
I also really enjoy the fact that in the past few episodes they've made mention of the fact that the beers are very watered down. And, like, on the table,
oh my God,
they look so watered down.
It looked like apple juice.
You can straight see through
it. Like, it was,
It looks like 5% beer and, like, 95% water.
Yeah. Well, what they're... What
it seems like if you had, like, 2 sips of beer left and then said, you know what, I'm thirsty, need water. Yeah. Just fill the same cup up.
When they're dealing with such a limited budget, it's like... It's
they're limited, but, you know, it's consistency. Limited
budget.
It's consistent.
Poor Louis. Louis is millions of dollars in debt. He was on Stern this week and said that, yeah, I wasted so much money on this show, and I don't know if I'm going to make it back or not. But I respect him so... You know what? If this is anything, support this show and buy it like we did, guys.
He'll probably I feel like Louis is one of those guys who's going to actually... His works are going to become more famous after he dies.
Oh.
Like, I'm talking, like, 50 years from now, people are still going to be talking about, like, his shit.
Oh, I like it. Yes.
Maybe even more. He looks like William Shakespeare, too. You ever notice that?
No.
No, he looks like fucking, is it Picasso?
They all look the same.
No, Picasso, the redheaded one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He looks
no,
like...
no, no, you're thinking of Van Gogh.
Van Gogh. Then.
No, no, but the...
He oh, always... yeah, I was going to say, not... Wait, wait, but...
He also kind of looks like
Shakespeare. He does kind of look like Van Gogh. I see Van Gogh way more than I see... I don't see anything I hope. Between him and Shakespeare.
Like, if he grew out his, like, side hair mm-hmm. and got, like...
Mind a... you, the only image got, like, of earring. Shakespeare...
He would be Shakespeare.
The only thing of Shakespeare I can remember is the bust in the original Batman series.
No, no.
They had a bust of Shakespeare. That's all I got.
Oh, that's not what I'm...
That's my only reference to Shakespeare.
Romeo and Juliet.
Well, reference to an image of Shakespeare. Smartass.
You took a Shakespeare class.
I did take a Shakespeare
class. So did I.
That was a good class. Yeah. I really liked that class.
All right, we're at 1:10, and there was plenty of Fast and Furious talk.
Good on us.
Plenty of other shit. We'll be back next week with an anniversary show if we get together.
I guess so. I guess that's what we're doing.
I guess, yeah.
Maybe we'll do like 10 minutes or 20 minutes of talk, and then we'll...
I have an idea for it.
Cool. Let's talk about that off air. Oh, Amazon.NicoEmpire.com.
No, I thought we were going to skip it this time.
Zach forgot to use the banner this week when he ordered his hardware.
Okay, no, 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 no. No, let me explain that. I went on my phone and I placed the hard drive in my basket, in the cart or whatever. And then I'm like, oh, you know what? Let me do this through the banner. And I went through the banner and I only clicked that stupid microphone, which I didn't even get.
Yes.
So to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, I spent $100. We're gonna get a portion of that, but because I didn't do my
$4,
but because I didn't go through, because I went through my phone with the hard drive, it didn't register.
And yeah, don't do that. Amazon.NicoEmpire.com from a desktop or something. Or you can probably do it on your phone too. Shop, help support the podcast. It'll be all dandy. Listen to my Trump podcast too this week. I'm really proud of it. Yeah. I think it's the best podcast I've ever done.
That's sad.
I hate him
because he went to the Trump rally.
I was actually going to go, but I had work.
It was pretty great. Listen to that.
What's wrong with you people?
It's funny.
It's the best. It's the absolute best. Have a great week. We'll see y'all next week. And until then, you've all been naughty.
Naughty.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.